Are you tired of buying furniture and having it arrive at your home exactly how you thought it would look, all in one piece? Would you like to have something in your living room that statistically is also in the living room of the majority of people in Western and Northern Europe? Do you secretly like meatballs more than you probably should? Then IKEA is the place for you. IKEA! Meatballs, challenge your Lego abilities with furniture, and share decor style with most of the known world. That's right, IKEA, Diesel and Clooney is sponsored by, not really by IKEA, but we should be, because we like them.
We do.
We really do, Jerry. And you know what I didn't even mention that little promo was, Jerry, they have these little sour gummies, mm-hmm. and I can only find them at IKEA, and they're so good. They're so good, Jerry.
IKEA sour gummies.
Yeah, IKEA sour gummies. Everyone raves about their meatballs, but they're missing out on the sour gummies. I'm just saying.
Yeah, like this is the thing. Like, I'm surprised that I haven't had the sour gummies because this is what I love and I hate about IKEA.
Tell me, Jerry.
It's just that genius layout, right? Like, there's no way you start here and then it's the maze that you go through and you wind your way through everything and you went in for a potholder and you come out with like baskets, loads of stuff and furniture that you're gonna have to put together when you get home, and you stop for meatballs right in the middle of it. Like, I love it and I hate it.
And sour gummies. And sour gummies.
And sour gummies. Yeah.
I have to tell you, Jerry. Here's the trick is I don't ever buy myself the sour gummies because I refuse to go to IKEA unless court mandated or that I absolutely have to because I don't like I want to leave when I want to leave. I don't like that it's set up as a maze and that I have to go through the entire park just to get out. No, I want to, like, when I go shopping, I want to have the ability to halfway through go, my attention span's run out, and be able to just leave. And you can't with IKEA. I mean, people talk of these secret routes and, you know, if you're in the inn circle, you know the shortcuts and cut-throughs and knock three times on the left pillow of the Schwartbad display, and that'll open up a trap door that you can slide through. But who's got time for all that? No, I want to leave when I want to leave. So I just, when anyone else is going to IKEA, I ask them to pick me up sours because I will not go myself.
There is actually a trap door, but you have to put it together with one of those little bitty Allen wrenches.
And you've got to find the Allen wrench somewhere in the store.
That's right. I'm just curious, like, what country were you in and what did you do that you got a court mandate to go to IKEA? Like, what do you have to do to get that as your sentence?
Just want to know what to avoid. Do you know? I have to tell you, Jerry, the only IKEA that I can remember going to and through and actually almost, and I hate to admit it, although I'm really undoing all of our good promo work at the beginning of this episode, but that's okay. I'll go. Maybe they'll still sponsor us, Jerry.
Likelihood of their sponsorship is low. Anyway.
It's low. So, but here, I'll beef it back up. There is a massive IKEA in Abu Dhabi, and I found the most amazing blanket. I was only there for the sours, Jerry. You know I was. I was just there for the sours. But I did get distracted. They had, it's a blanket that defies physics, Jerry, because it's light, but heavy. I don't know how else to make sense of it. It's, when you hold the blanket in its entirety, it has got heft and weight to it. But if you like feel just a little part of it, it's just light and cottony and this weird sort of, I don't know enough textile terms to explain it, but it's this magic blanket that is both light and heavy. Wow. And I love it. In fact, I love it so much. I bought it in Abu Dhabi. I had a subsequent trip to the US and brought it with me because it became my blankie. That's how much I loved it.
So like actual weight, like when you're putting that in your suitcase, getting on the airplane.
Yeah, it was. It was a trade-off.
Light or heavy?
No, it's kind of heavy. I did. I had to trade off. I was, you know, I didn't bring as many clothes as I would have because I brought blankie. Yeah. But then the friends that I was visiting in the U.S. fell in love with blankie so much that I left it with them because I could tell how attached they were. And I thought, oh, okay, you can have it. I'll just go back and get another one in Abu Dhabi. And so I did. I actually went back to I've made multiple stops at the Abu Dhabi IKEA. I'm told that blanket is now available in other IKEAs. It's not an Abu Dhabi exclusive, but still, It's not what you expect, really, for a blanket to be both heavy and light. And you know what, Jared? speaking of expectations.
Wow.
Yep. Kind of proud of that one. Mm-hmm.
At what point in your story did you know you were going to do that? Did you was that the point when you started?
Right before. Honestly, before. I really did. I went on my blanket tangent, and then I was like, oh, reel it in, Christopher. Right. Wait, I can do this. Yeah, pretty proud I worked that segue in. Expectations, Jerry. That's what we're going to unpack today.
Expectations. Great expectations.
Great expectations, if you will. Which, horrible, you know, expectations. Horrible expectations.
Let's unpack them.
Who are we to say? Because really, you know, we've just, if you're listening to this at the time we release it, then 2022 will have just ended and 2023 has just launched itself onto our consciousness. But even if you're listening to it later, you can think back to the transition between 22 and 23. Yeah. And the year change, that's always time to look back and assess, you know, what did we expect out of 2022 and what was unexpected about it? And then as the new year's upon us, what are we expecting out of it? Those are the questions, Jerry. So let me pose it to you. What defied your expectations in 2022? What was unexpected about the year that we just closed?
Well, like before I can even go there, it's like we're still in the wake of like the most magnanimous example of what we're talking about right now that has ever happened in the history of expectations, I think. So like 2022 came on the heels of 2021. Which came on the heels of 2020, which was going to be the year to beat all years, right? Like, remember that? We were 2020 vision. There were so many speeches. I almost made a speech about 2020 vision and then got sent home because of COVID. Had to go into quarantine just to do the speech and then got sent home. Never got to do it. And so it's like we're all still reeling a little bit from that. Like it's beginning to fall off into the distance, but it was big enough that it still has an impact. And so it's like those are my lenses that I kind of look through when we talk about expectations, especially going into a new year. So 2022 for me, I think my expectations were so, I was so afraid to expect because of all of that, right? Like because of where I was afraid to say, this is where 2022 is going. I was afraid to make a resolution or set a goal or say this year I'm going to, right? And so for me, 2022 was pleasantly surprising in its uneventfulness, right? Like I ended the year with the same job I started the year with. I ended the year living in the same house, living in the same country, surrounded by the same, like very small group of people, my immediate family that I began it with. And so for me, 2022, like was a great year for expectations because I didn't set any and they all hit like, and it was pleasant and it was acceptable. How about you?
Well, hold on. Before I answer, because you did, there's.
I'm gonna own it. Like that was a really long and drawn out non-answer. Like own that.
Quite the opposite, dude, Jerry. I think there's several things I want to touch on because first of all, now I can't take credit for this. I'm sure I saw it in a meme, and you know where all good information comes from, the memes. But someone pointed out, and I related with it, and that's, you know, how the memes do, was that it almost feels like because of everything
pause. Okay. Our next podcast, we're going to be sponsored by memes.
Sponsored by memes. It's brilliant, Jerry. That is how the memes do. Because it kind of is. I'm just saying.
It is.
Oh, look memes. At that. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. Look at that forethought that just happened. Now, you know, we have to remember that for the next episode. But I think this meme pointed out relatably, as the memes do, that it almost felt like Jerry, 2020 popped on with so many unexpected, you know, twists and turns and tragedies and what have you, that and it just dragged on, and it almost felt like 2020, 2021, and 2022 all sort of melded together. Like some people might even argue 2021 and 2022 may not have happened. It was just an extended 2020.
It was 2020.
That's
vision, yes, right there.
That's vision. The year had so much in it, it couldn't be contained in a single year.
The year that sucked up three years.
It enveloped several years. So in some ways, I feel like, you know, I just wanted to point out what you're saying actually makes a lot of sense. That it came on the heels of something that began, you know, it was a long 2022 was just an extension, kind of as things began to, and have, you know, many of the restrictions are lifting and things. So I think we can hope 2023 turns the tide, but you know, that's expectations. But
even in our language, even the way we're talking right now, we're still shell-shocked and shy about saying, we're a little tentative about projecting too far with our expectations. We saw what could happen, right?
Yeah. Which brings me to my next point that you brought up. I mean, you think it was a non-answer, but it was rich, Jerry. It was rich. Mm. Beyond the fact that 2020 just encompassed several years. I think there's two, and you brought one up, there are two main schools of thought, I think, when it comes to expectations. Obviously, many, many more, but we're going to generalize. Because it's always a safe bet. Make a generalization. Yep. in this business. But I feel like, you know, one way you can look at it is with expectations. On one hand, there is the camp that would side toward keep your expectations low, and then you'll be pleasantly surprised. Like, you know, kind of, which is what you were saying, that 2020 was just such a sucker punch. That, yeah, I think a lot of us were like, oh, don't hope for anything.
Right.
And so, that works, that if you keep your expectations low, then anything above a very low baseline, exactly. But I think, you know, there's also the opposite end of the spectrum where, and maybe this is more in dealing with people, but I think it can apply to lots of things. The opposite end of the spectrum is have high expectations of people because it helps them reach that if you treat someone, you know, at a kind of a higher level, it may actually inspire them to attain that level. And I don't know that applies to, you know, maybe we're personifying years. Because I don't know if that works. I don't know if I can, you know, look 2020.
Like I think it does, right? Like I think it's kind of that idea of like when you what's the saying, right? Like if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it, right? Like the idea that if you aim high, all of those idioms and words that we use to surround it, like we're shooting for the moon, we're going for the gold, we're like all of that, right? Like aim high and then you won't be disappointed, right? Like you're going to land at a higher spot, even if you don't hit your goal, even if you don't accomplish everything that your high goals have set out in front of you. You're gonna come out in a better spot than if you aim for nothing and if you lower your expectations, right?
Like
that's the thinking. I'm not yet prescribing because I have my own. I'm just acknowledging, yes, there are those truths. Aim for nothing, right? Don't go in with zero expectations, lower them to the ground, and you will never be disappointed. Or aim high, aim for the sky. And then you're likely to at least come out better than the rest.
Yeah. Well, and I do this is fascinating to me. And this is kind of the meat of what, you know, I kind of wanted to unpack because, with that in mind, how do we balance that? Like, is it, do you think it's a one size fit all? Maybe some people, you know, is it prescriptive? Hey, always keep your expectations low. And some people do that. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's that? Some people always keep their expectations high because, as you said, if you aim for the stars and you miss, you'll probably still at least land on the moon. I'm butchering that, but it's something to that effect. And I wonder, you know, does that have to do with people's personality, or Or is it something that we can sort of pick and choose? Is there a way that we sort of decide, you know, based on our personality and our experience, that we pick and choose different realms in our lives? And some of them we keep a low bar, and some of them we put a high bar and aim toward. And how do we discern that? You know, because you think about the implications of this. I think the most interesting implication for me is not just how we reflect on our own experience, but even in how we treat other people. I mean, I think you can definitely look and say, you know, there are times where, yeah, we've gone into a situation with someone and we've kept the bar low. We're like, okay, this probably nothing good is going to come from this. And then you can be pleasantly surprised. I'm like, oh, actually that was good. Okay. And some people, you know, the opposite, some people, that is their philosophy, is listen, I'm going to expect much out of you because it's going to pull you up to where I think you could be. So the implications there, not just for how we reflect on our own story and experiences, but how we treat other people, expectations comes into it a lot.
Yeah. I have a perspective. Like I have a thought that, this was my perspective, especially when I was training people, especially for their first experience crossing cultures, living abroad, moving to a different place, because it's really all about expectations, right? Like it's what's this going to look like? How is my life going to change? All of that. And so this conversation came up a lot, like, should you lower your expectations? Just go in with no expectations. You'll never be disappointed. Or, hey, let's aim for the sky here. I think that line of thinking is just extremely two dimensional, right? Which is not necessarily a good thing. It's only two dimensions. It's either low or high, and as if those are your only choices. And I think if you extend it too long, if you will put the word postpone in there, it becomes a completely different conversation. So if you will, it's fine, keep your expectations high, right? Like, you're going to do great things. You're going to learn this language and speak it fluently. You're going to make connections and build relationship and have community like you've never experienced. You're going to assimilate to this culture and become a part of it. And really, this is going to be like a second home to you. That's fine. It's not going to happen in the first month. It's not going to happen in the second or the first 6 months, right? So if you will postpone those expectations and just put them out there a little bit longer. So we've got low expectations or high expectations. That's not really the question. The question is, how long does it take for those expectations to come true? And typically our high expectations are built around a very short time frame and an unrealistic time frame. We think that not only are we going to shoot for the sky and hit it, like we're going to get there immediately. And so it's just like, throw a little patience in there, right? Throw a little, just wait a little bit. It doesn't mean that you have to let go of your dreams, of your expectations, of what you think you're going to be able to accomplish. Because when you let go of those, you quit moving towards them. You quit trying. So language learning is a great example, right? I'm going to move to this new country. I'm going to learn this language. Yeah, our expectation typically is a little bit more ambitious than it probably should be. I'm going to be fluent in 6 months. Well, maybe you're not, right? Like, postpone that. Give yourself some space. Give yourself some time, and see what happens. But keep moving toward it, and keep moving toward those expectations. And again, or maybe we haven't said this yet, but sometimes we have those expectations as if they're just going to happen, instead of we're going to work toward them, right? So I'm going to learn this language because everybody around me speaks it. Nope, not going to happen. I'm going to learn this language because I work hard on it and I study every day and I build connections and start speaking it and have conversations and use what I have and continue to learn. And then eventually I'll get there. That's my perspective.
Jerry Jones, purveyor of nuggets. That was quite the nugget right there, Jerry.
I want it on my tombstone right now. Like, that's it. Jerry Jones, 19 hama hama to hama hama hama. purveyor of nuggets.
makes you sound like a successful prospector. I don't
know that we want to chase it out too far. What it
prospector? Well, I was going to say prospector.
Okay, all right.
You're in California now. 49ers. That's a thing. Purveyor. Look at me knowing stuff. I know nugget, stuff about nugget California purveyor. And, yep. and teams. But I do. I think you're absolutely right. Even introducing that, you know, I talked about the dichotomy of kind of those two levels, that either, you know, expect nothing and be pleasantly surprised, or aim high and no matter what you increase. But you're right. If you add more dimension to it, mm-hmm. and I can picture it in my mind. It's, you know, it's like a line chart or a bar chart or another mm-hmm. chart that people who know how to do those things in Excel or yep. numbers, if you're a Mac user. Know how to do, but it's very, very true that we're missing a whole axis if we just keep our expectations at you know low or high. That actually you add in the time axis and everything becomes so much more realistic. Nuggets, Jerry. Nuggets.
And it changes everything, right? Like it, when you add that other axis, you give yourself the space, you give yourself time, you give yourself grace, right? Like you you cut yourself some slack for not hitting your high expectations. And you really step into a more realistic world. Like you're allowing reality to be a part of the equation instead of just expecting miraculous, impossible things to happen immediately.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing I think about expectations is sometimes, yeah, you know, if I look back on 2022, which, you know, again, was just an extension of 2020 in many ways. Mm-hmm. Poor 2021. It just doesn't even, mm-hmm. it just didn't happen. 2021 yeah. did not happen. We just sort of 2020'd and into 2022. And I think we've all agreed that ended. And we are in a new, you know, 2023 now. It just kind of did. It just, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, for me, speaking of, you know, expectations and things like that, I think it was a huge shock to me when Her Majesty passed away in 2022. And I look back on that, and that's a funny expectation because it was in hindsight, you know, which sight from my behind is always 2020, apparently, just to, you know, give another nod. Should we be giving 2020 this much attention? We should not. But in hindsight, from my behind, Her Majesty was human. So we have an expiration date. So that should not have been. And she did. She lived a good long life. And yet it still hit me as quite a shock. I think that I had tricked, and I don't think I'm alone in this. I think quite a lot of us in the UK and maybe even Commonwealth realms beyond really had sort of tricked ourselves. I legitimately mm-hmm. kind of thought because she had always been there, she just would always be there
forever.
And I know you saying it out loud, that sounds insane, but deep down it mm-hmm. just kind of seemed like a thing. So it was, it was a very, very big shock. And I think that's an interesting thing. Just the expectations we have that we probably don't even think about, you know, I reading history books, I always feel just a little tickle of alarm. If that's mm-hmm. a thing, I don't think alarms normally tickle you, but you know, I mean, just that it's a very odd alarm, actually. The house is on fire. Oh, I feel a tickle. That's not that kind of, not going to be anything. I guess just a minor sense of alarm. But I, when I read history, this warning comes to me that think about all the empires that have been, and there have been a few. I bet in their heyday, they couldn't possibly imagine that empires would fall. You know, if you're a Roman citizen in the height of Rome's power, you know, that it's unimaginable that would come to an end. And I think we all have those things. So, you know, maybe for some of us, it was Her Majesty. Maybe for some of us, it's the nation we live in. Maybe for some of us, it's, you know, whatever it is, whatever system, you know, that we sort of, we assume a level of permanence and a level of kind of, eternity that may not actually be. And I'm not saying we should fixate on that. That sounds terrible. I mean, you know, you become a doomsdayer. Mm-hmm. But what do we do when we're faced with the unexpected?
There's so much that you're just kind of unrolling right now. Like you're unpacking it, if you will.
Well, it is. You're the nugget dropper. I'm the enigma unwrapper.
No, I'm the nugget purveyor. Purveyor of nuggets.
Purveyor. Yep. Purveyor of nuggets. Good point.
Purveyor. No, but I started a company one time because there was this thought that was so clear in my head, it just made sense. But it really didn't make sense to anyone else because I didn't communicate it well. But the name of the company was Micmac, and the idea the idea was that Mic and Mac stand for micro and macro, and the idea with micro is that when you zoom in tight, right, there's just a completely different perspective. And when you zoom in tight, we are all completely different. We all have a different personality. We all have, like, we are all so unique, and who we are is so different. But when you macro, when you zoom out, it's like we're all the same person. Right. Like if you slap us, we feel the same emotions. We may respond a little bit differently. We may but it hurts us. It causes anger. It causes sadness. It causes frustration. Like it's a universal principle. But this idea of what happens when you zoom out and when you zoom in was fascinating to me. And I think that's what you're talking about, right? Like when you look at these expectations and you zoom out, something happens at this macro level. Like all of these empires, all of these things that thought they would never go away, when you zoom out, they barely show up on the timeline of eternity, right? But when you zoom in, you have an opportunity to just enjoy today, right? Like you have an opportunity to just kind of be where you are and enjoy the experience and connect with the people who are around you. It doesn't matter that in 100 years and 200 years and 500 years, anything, like none of that really matters when you're able to focus on what's happening today.
I think that's such good perspective. I like the connection between opportunity and expectation. You know, in some ways, maybe the healthiest way to chart our expectation is to bear opportunity in mind. You know, what is the opportunity that's available, and what sort of time frame do you have to have on that? Because as I look at all this, I mean, from dealing with the unexpected, from evaluating our expectations that have been or haven't been met, it's to me, it's so easy to point all of this to people. You know, I think we can have expectations of ourselves, of time, of external forces, but I feel like so much in life revolves around what we expect from other people. Do we expect them to think like us? And you touched on this with, you know, training people for cross-cultural experiences and things, because really a lot of cross-cultural living is having to examine your own expectations.
Right.
You know, we have cultural expectations because things seem normal to us. We assume, you know, I get milk in a carton. There's always a fridge full of it at my local grocery store. Surely everyone in the world has cartons of milk available easily in grocery stores. Right. That is absolutely not a universal thing. Lots of the world, milk is just not that normal a thing. Yeah. Some of the world, it's delivered in ways other than cartons. And, you know, that's just one example. So our expectations are something we have to learn to evaluate for cross-cultural experiences. But on a much deeper level, and I think it ties into empathy. And you know, my dear Jerry, I'm going to drag empathy in any chance I can get.
It's your favorite.
Empathy, it is. It's always hovering in the wings, Jerry. Empathy is hovering in the wings. Maybe that's what I want on my tombstone. Christopher O'Shaughnessy, 19 to 20. Empathy was always hovering in the wings. Ooh, that's good.
Poetic.
Look at me. What a productive episode. We've designed our tombstones. I like it. Dear listener, we would like you to email us with what you want on your tombstone, because goodness knows, Jerry and I will try to make it happen if we outlive you. But
And if you don't know, just like for a small fee, because we haven't signed IKEA yet, like we'll come up with it for you.
And until we get IKEA, we at least can purvey tombstones. Chris and Jerry, purveyor of nuggets and tombstones. It almost sounds like a veiled threat, doesn't it, really? we'll purvey nuggets and tombstones, so beware. Beware. Anyway, but it does. I think there's so much here. I think all the time about, you know, my expectations of other people, and and some of the biggest problems that I run into are when I project my own expectations onto others. You know, and I think we've talked about before things like the Enneagram, which for me, I think that's just it's one of many great tools to help you check your own perspective. And so, you know, for me, I value peace very, very highly. So I'll project that onto other people, and maybe other people value truth above everything else. Above so peace, they will disturb the peace if it means pointing out, you know, a factual inaccuracy. Whereas for me, you know, if someone says something that's slightly off, but it's not going to hurt anything, I'm like, let them have it. Like, you know, it keeps the peace. So disturbances like that come sometimes because we do what we expect out of people. You know, we almost take what we expect out of us and project it onto others. And I don't know. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Should you demand of others what you demand of yourself?
Right. Like it's a thing, right? Like it's a reality that we all live with is that there are people who come at things from very different perspectives and with very different expectations and very different experiences and different expectations of themselves and the people around them. And like all of those pieces mixed together. And that's what makes the world go round. Like that's what makes this so interesting and never, ever boring, is that you've got peace-loving people who will do anything to keep out of the conflict, and then you've got people who come in, who step in and just love to start a fight, right?
Oh goodness.
Like if everyone was peace loving, if everyone was fight starting, that's the beauty of humanity. It's the diversity of our experience, and it's really rich, and that's where it's beautiful and painful too, right? Like that's that's where the pain comes from. But that's also where the richness of the world comes from. And, and dare I say it, and I know this is going to sting a little bit, but even that conflict, right. Adds color to the world and adds experience and really shifts us and changes us whether we like it or not.
Ooh, ooh, Jerry, dropping the,
how's that for a nugget?
dropping nuggets.
Purvey that. Stick that in your pipe and purvey it.
Purveying less than peace. Even the notion, Jerry. Even the notion. I think the fact that we all have our different expectations, which again, you know, if we tie, as we said earlier, if we tie opportunity to expectation, I think that helps broaden the perspective quite a bit. That actually, you know, if you're looking for the most possible opportunity, some of that is going to come from the diversity of what we all bring. I mean, I do believe me, a world full of peacemakers like me, it'd be marvelously quiet and there would be a lot of nap time. And that sounds marvelous. But we'd also probably, we'd get nothing done, Jerry. Nothing would get done. We'd all get together and be like, should we, it seems, I don't want to imprint. No, should we have a nap? Okay. And we would just nap all the time and it'd be great.
Right.
But you're right. You know, a world full of, you know, perfectionists, a world full of whoever's, the world would look very different. So in some ways, there's opportunity in the variety of our expectations. Ooh, Jerry, that's good stuff right there. I don't care who you are. That's good stuff.
That's empathy in the wings right there.
Empathy in the wings. Mm-hmm. Purveying nuggets of empathy in the wings. There we go.
We just saved our spouses so much money because we can be buried in the same plot.
I was going to say, now,
if we're in the same hole,
if we're flying together and our plane falls out of the sky, that is going to be what they put on our tombstone.
That's beautiful.
Yep. Which, as a side note, since I brought up flying, and you know, I'm going to refer to that wherever possible. That, I think, is my best example of where I have to say, while I don't want to go to extremes, I do think for my dear fellow flyers out there, mm-hmm. the safest way to travel is to keep your expectations low.
That's fair. Okay.
I'm not saying do it with everything, but listen, you will be way less stressed and angry if when you book a ticket on an airline, and I don't care which airline, as someone who spends a lot of time in the sky, listen, when you book that ticket and you look on your screen and it says confirmed, you're flying mm-hmm. from A to B. What you need to actually read with very low expectations is mm-hmm. you're confirmed that you've given us money. Maybe we'll get you to B. Maybe we'll get you to L, and it'll be on you to try to get back to B.
It's a mount poorer right now. That's fair. And you just actually poked a hole in my perspective, which I appreciate. I can accept that because some things are two dimensional, right? Like that, mm-hmm. like that flight has a finite amount of time connected to it. And so postponing the expectation for that flight, really, like, it doesn't matter. When the flight's over, and it either was or it wasn't, according to your expectations.
So, and I am, Jerry, I'm a much happier boy for keeping that expectation low. Because then when my mm-hmm. flight is canceled, because I watch people, you know, march up to that poor, bedraggled, mm-hmm. overworked, mm-hmm. exhausted flight attendant who's been, or not flight, gate agent who's been yelled at all day. I watch them march up to her and demand that they fix it. And whereas I can stroll up and be like, meh. I only half expected that we would take off anyway. Right. So the fact that we didn't is okay.
Well, the fact that I'm just talking to you right now.
Yeah. You know what? You seem lovely. Yeah. Yep. This is a thing. Yeah. I'm glad we got to interact. So, you know, in some areas, two-dimensional, in many areas, three-dimensional. Mm-hmm.
I have so much to learn from you because I recently went on a flight. I showed up and I didn't have a ticket. It was on my phone. I could prove that I bought the ticket, and they're like, yeah, like, sorry, it doesn't show up here. You're going to have to talk to them about that. And so, and the amount, the level of frustration, and I'm not far from you on the confrontation scale, but I went overboard on that day.
Dear.
It was frustrating. So my expectations were actually that I could get on a plane.
Oh yeah.
For a ticket for. But I like, that's what I'm learning from you. That's not an expectation that I should have.
No, don't expect it. Basically, what you have to think of flying as, Jerry, and I realize we're never going to get sponsored by airlines for this mm-hmm. comment, but what you have or to IKEA. Think of flying. No. Yeah. Or IKEA. Basically, we're going to have to find new sponsors.
Let's just do that. Let's just check them off one episode at a time.
Like, it's one not episode about at a time.
Sponsors we're trying to get. It's like, which ones are we going to check off as a never going to happen?
We're checking off. Yeah, we're narrowing the list down for who is good enough to sponsor Jerry.
That's
and
right.
These nuggets require premium sponsors. That's right. That's right. No, Jerry, when you buy a ticket, you're basically placing a bet is what it is. You have to think of buying an airline ticket as more online gambling. Is you're like, I'll put this money down. And I think my chances of getting to a place are reasonable. And that's all it is, Jerry. Yeah. It's a gamble. It's a gamble. Yeah. And I know how you love to gamble. Yeah. I do. Yeah. You know, I do. I only gamble in the travel arena, but I gamble a lot. But I've learned to hedge my bets, Jerry. I've learned, for instance, I think I've talked about this in other episodes. I add an entire day layover in pass-through cities. Madrid is my mm-hmm. go-to city of choice now when I have to get to the Middle East or wherever. because I'm like, eh, the chances that the airline will actually connect me all the way running, no, mm-hmm. it probably won't. So I do. I just landed. Hedge your bets.
Yeah, like you've learned to manage your expectations with reality, right? Like that.
It's the time axis, Jerry. I basically, I'm like, you know what? Chances are, you will actually get me
postpone the expectations. Where I want.
Yep. You will. I'm going to give you a little more time.
Right?
Yeah. I'm adding the axis.
A great example of that. I had an experience just recently, actually last week, where I got a refund for a ticket that I bought.
What?
Actually, four tickets that I bought 2.5 years ago. It was the heat of the pandemic. It was the worst. Like every country had different rules and different laws and different expectations, if you will. We were trying to relocate from China to Malta. The only flight we could get was a 7-leg stretch from China to Malta, from Shanghai to Hong Kong to Europe, and bouncing several different places in Europe. We were going to see friends in Czech Republic. It was so horrible. And we got as far as Shanghai, and they said, no, you can't go any farther. We lost a pretty, like that, that 7-leg flight wasn't cheap for the four of us.
I can, especially at the time. We lost that money. Imagine.
And last week they sent us an email and they said, click here for your $38 refund. And you better believe I clicked right there. I got $38 back, and that was $38 that I never expected to see again. And so sometimes reality, outshines your greatest expectations by $38. But you got to postpone it. Like that was 2.5 years later, right?
Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, you think of the investment on that. You invested for 2 years and got $38.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, Jerry. Hmm. Jerry, I'm hesitant to admit this, but I'm going to. I have taken an airline. I won't name them, but I have taken an airline to court in order to get a refund. Ooh. And I won. I absolutely got my money back. But it took taking them to court. Sometimes you got to call their bluff.
Yeah.
I realize this is not a travel advice podcast, but.
Right. For, so higher or lower, $38.
Higher. I took him to court for, I think it was for $800. Okay. And I won.
Did you actually go to court, or did they settle out of court?
They said I did not have to actually go to court, which that was a gamble too, because I thought, oh my gosh, like the country, it would have cost me more than my winnings to have to appear in this country to go to court.
But you have to think that the airline is thinking that exact same thing. It's going to cost us more than $800. Exactly. To actually go show up for this bozo, right? Yeah. Like, let's just give him $800.
Yeah. $800 It thankfully is exactly what happened. They were as hesitant to show up in court as I was. It really, it was like a game of chicken. I played chicken with the airlines, and amazingly, I won. And I'm certainly, you know, I'm not advocating everyone do this. Remember, the opinions of Christopher Shaughnessy in any shape or form reflect those of anyone else that I'm responsible to. But I'm just saying sometimes.
Let's just, as far as sponsors go, let's check all the airlines,
off
the list and say, this is your nugget purveyed, listeners.
Go to
the airlines.
Some airlines were listening and they were like, nope, we're out. That's it. We're out. Done with these people.
Hey, listen to these. Hey, these guys are so global. These guys fly a lot.
They're telling people to sue us.
Wait.
But also, one. So I'm just throwing it out there, dear listeners.
Airlines and IKEA, check and check.
And done. I mean, I think we've done it all, Jerry. We've unpacked expectations. We've made it three dimensional. We mm-hmm. added the fact that you need time. We dealt with the unexpected, and we told people to sue airlines. And we pretty much alienated ourselves from IKEA. That's all in a day's work.
That's a good day's work and a really solid podcast right there.
Well played, sir. Good day. Mm-hmm. I said good day.
Good day.
Oh, Jerry, an absolute delight as always.
As always.
Let's do this again soon. And dear listener, thanks for joining us after our wee winter break. We're very excited to be back.
Yeah. Yep.
We hope that you are having an enjoyable 2023. Yeah, just say yep, Jerry. Just say yep.
Yep. Yep.
That's just how we'll go out. We'll just fade out a bunch of yep.
Yep, 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 yep.
Yep, yep, yep. Nope. We'll see you next time.
Yep.